This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
There is a by-election coming up, which actually has got surprisingly little coverage, and one of the candidates is someone who you will know well, who's been on our screens many times, Catherine Blakelock. Catherine, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Now, you can find Catherine before we start, and it's obviously in the description. That is her Twitter handle, so you can follow Catherine. You can follow her range of views, but also follow the by-election that's coming up and her candidacy. Now, this is the by-election for South End West, which is coming up after the death of Sir David Ames, the murder of Sir David Ames. So, Catherine, I think probably first of all, can I just ask you, normally in British politics, there's a kind of convention that if someone dies or then other parties do not stand. So the list is shorter, but still there are about 10 different parties standing. So why have you decided to put your name in the ring for this?
Okay, well, let's talk about this convention, because this convention isn't a convention. If we go back to the death of Airey Neave by the IRA, I don't know if you remember that. This convention did not apply then. I can't remember whether he actually the incumbent lost the seat, the Conservatives lost the seat or not, but everybody stood. This is only a convention that's happened, I believe, since Joe Cox, and it's only applied to two elections as far as I can see. So that's the first point. It's not a convention. The second thing is that if this is caused by a terrorist attack and you continually have these terrorist attacks, then you effectively stop democracy. I think people should stand. It should be a referendum on what happened, and people should have the choice to take that and not be just shoved in another candidate. In this case, I don't know the person involved, but she is not from the area. Of course, I'm not from the area as well. And many of the candidates are not from the area, but when you're from a little party, you haven't got much choice of candidates to put in. But when you're the Conservative Party, you've got lots of candidates to put in. They did the same thing in the Owen Paterson by-election, where they put an Asian lawyer into Shropshire, who lost to the Liberal Democrats. And in this case, they have put a barrister from Sevenoaks in. Sevenoaks, of course, probably being one of the most expensive areas of the entire country. And I believe they had 100 candidates to choose from. So the question comes, why did they put this particular candidate in?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Catherine. I think that voters should always get a wide range of choice so they can make a proper decision and not be forced to accept one or the other. Now, just let me bring up just the list. So that's a list of, there are only 9 standing, some independents, some parties, but not many. But Catherine, you obviously, people will know you from your time in UKIP, but also you founded the Brexit Party and you're standing for the English Democrats. Mm-hmm. So what made you choose the English Democrats?
Okay, so first of all, that list is reduced by one. One of the independents has pulled out, and I don't know the reasons for that. I think it's a woman or one of the ones that didn't have a descriptor there. So I think we're down to 8 now. After the fiasco, I would say, with the Brexit Party, where effectively I fell on my sword for what I considered was the good of the country, with some considerable pressure and persuasion to do that, which I know Mr. Batten said I wouldn't fall on my sword for anybody, certainly not Nigel Farage. Or something to that effect. I then tried to join the Conservative Party, but pretty much, well, it's accepted, of course, by the local area. They were all very happy to have me. They wouldn't have me. And then central office got hold of it and rejected me, as they would many other people. So they would reject anybody effectively who was senior in UKIP or the Brexit Party. I mean, for example, a person they would no doubt reject would be Stuart Agnew's, Stuart Agnew, who is the brother of, what's his name? The other Agnew, I forgot what his first name is, who's just been in the newspapers because he's resigned over the fraud, the COVID. That's his brother. He works with Michael Gove, and he's been heavily involved in free schools. Theo Agnew is very, very high up in the Conservative Party, and is Stuart Agnew's brother. Same name, same family. So, you know, Stuart Agnew would no doubt be rejected as well, as was Stephen Wolfe. So then I got left with nothing and nobody, and I certainly didn't feel like joining most of the other parties. Lawrence Fox's, I felt, was just woke. Richard Tice wasn't going to have me anyway, and I wouldn't go back as some underling sort of vote, you know, leaflet deliverer for the Brexit Party. And Heritage, David Curtin again was offered to come into the Brexit Party right at the beginning and didn't. And I, in this election, got an email from somebody saying, why are you splitting the vote against the Heritage Party? Which is quite ironic, because David Curtin has done exactly that and gone and set up another party. So, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do what David did and set up another party. I think it's very, I hate the word divisive because it's a very left-wing word, but it does, it splits stuff. And the reason I joined the English Democrats is not particularly about the English issue, although I am starting to become more interested in the English issue. The Englishness, England are bad words. It's fine to be a Scottish nationalist party, but you certainly can't create an English nationalist party. And I believe, I mean, Robin Tilbrook, who's the leader, believes that the English Democrats would have difficulty now getting elected under the, getting registered under their manifesto. Yeah. And this is the irony, that you can be an Irish Republican Party, effectively. You can be a Scottish National Party and a Welsh National Party, but you can't be an English National Party. And since Nicola Sturgeon has become more belligerent and more effectively, I'd say, Marxist, totalitarian in the north of Britain, I've started to say, well, I have changed my opinion on what I think about Scotland now. At the time of the last referendum, I was, of course, completely a unionist, 100%, as would be most Conservatives. Never even crossed my mind that we would want to split this country up. But seeing what has progressed since then, I have become less sure about that position. The other reason I joined is because of Robin Tilbrook himself. I think he's a jolly nice person. I get on very well with him. I've compared my experience in the English Democrats with working in UKIP and in the Brexit Party, and there's no comparison. I actually said that to a couple of people. I don't know if you know, but the English Democrats have been going for 20 years. They did have a mayor of Doncaster, and they've had a few local election seats. The English issue, of course, is going to hot up. And Robin has done the judicial review for We'd Left Brexit. He's also recently set up a union that has defended called the Workers of England. It's become quite big very quickly, and it's been defending people people at universities who've lost their job because of free speech. And it has grown by leaps and bounds. It's now defending people who are losing their jobs over COVID. So, you know, Robin has been incredibly welcoming and incredibly easy to work with. And you were in UKIP, Peter. UKIP was its worst own enemy. Half the time, you were being stabbed in the back by people in your own constituency.
Yeah.
I remember when I stood for Great Yarmouth, the first thing that came out was a councillor who went to the newspapers to complain that I was anti-development. That was fed story by a councillor in Great Yarmouth. Why did he feed that story? because he'd wanted to stand, but he thought that the incumbent would just be chosen from the big success in 2015, and there wouldn't be any competition, and he would just get, it was a waste of time. And suddenly I popped up and won the hustings, and he was furious about it because, you know, and the same thing, of course, would happen here today. If I happened to win this election, everybody would say, well, it's not a real win. They will. They'll just say it's not a real win. This is just a fake win. You shouldn't have won. But the interesting thing about just going back to this election was the SNP got their first breakthrough on a by-election. And you can see where it happened. And we have this terrible position at the moment where small parties never, never get a chance. So we have this entire segment of the population, which is probably to the right of the Liberal Democrats, given the Conservatives are where the Liberal Democrats effectively are, that we're talking about 25 to 30, 40% of the population that doesn't feel that they're represented. Mm. They, of course, are small parties, and you look at Richard Tice's results, and they're awful, and they just can't. And even Nigel, who stood how many times? 8 times, 9 times, and he could not break through. So, but those are the reasons I would encourage anybody who's interested, who's homeless, to join the English Democrats. With the exception of the English issue, I would say that many of the policies are the same as the 2015, which I think was UKIP's best manifesto ever, the 2015 manifesto. And it's an economic and social conservative with a C. We're not radically conservative. We're not radically anything. But, you know, and it's got a very high working class population following as well. So, you know, I'd say the demographic is pretty similar to UKIP. But I just think it's a smaller party and it's a nicer party. And I have to say that if for any reason I won, I would enjoy working for Robin. I'm not so sure how the result would have been if I'd been working for Nigel, as we can see with Douglas Carswell.
No, absolutely. And Catherine, I echo your comments on Robin. He is a jovial, great character, and all credit to him for what he's done with English Democrats, but also the Workers of Union. Workers of England Union is fantastic. Workersofengland.co.uk. And we've pushed that many times as the union for people to join for protection. And that's doing a great job. But you mentioned, Catherine, about feeling kind of politically homeless a bit. And I think a lot of us have felt like that after UKIP, after Brexit. Then actually, where do we go? And there's been a lot of people who are asking that question. And you've decided to jump in with English Democrats and actually to re-engage. So a lot of people are still maybe on the sidelines, still watching, maybe seeing results or not knowing a Conservative Party which isn't conservative and looking at where the other parties fall. So you've rolled up your sleeves and got back in. So what kind of was the impetus for you saying, right, I'm going to put my hat in the ring, I'm going to engage once again in party politics?
Well, Robin asked me to talk at the conference, and I talked at the conference about immigration and the economics of immigration. And then, and Godfrey Bloom, you remember Godfrey Gothers?
Yep. Oh, yes. How could I forget?
Godfrey isn't a member of the English Democrats because he doesn't want to get back into party politics, but he came and gave the after dinner speech, which, as you can imagine, was a riot. And he has said, you know, publicly that if he was going to vote for a party, he would vote for the English Democrats. Lots of people, probably even on here, have never heard of the English Democrats. You know, they've got as like little parties, you know, I don't know, 4,000 members, something like that, and very little money and not many people who want to stand. And so it's the same problem. I wasn't particularly keen on standing, to be honest. I hummed and hard and hummed and hard about doing this. There are two or three reasons. I think I finally decided I should stand rather than wanting to stand. When I came into politics, I wanted to do it. after the experience of the Brexit Party and the hate mail and the public denigration of my character, I felt that I'm not really that sort of person. I actually am a country person. I like feeding my horses. I like working at home. I'm not, you know, I'm not really somebody who wanted the public limelight or likes it particularly. I've realized that I've changed from what I thought I was. I think there are certain people, Nigel is the obvious one, Boris would be another, Richard Tice is another, who love the public limelight. They can't wait for it. You know, I'm not somebody who particularly likes going to parties even. I did when I was younger, but now I prefer to read a book. And the other thing is I didn't want to be subjected to the nastiness again. And of course, last night, Hope Not Hate did their rants, and I'm top of the list. Top of the list. So, you know, Tommy Robinson's disappeared. Other people have disappeared.
Well, it's Catherine, it's an honor to have you if you're top of their list.
Well, it's top of their South End list, you know. You know, so Robin said, well, you know, must be hitting target. That's what we say when you're under intense fire, you're hitting target. I think this is an appalling election, as it is. People are still not really talking about it. And what happened with, you know, comparing Batley and Sven with this? By the way, I want to say this before I say murder. On the BBC, you're not allowed to say that David Ames was murdered.
Mm.
And I talked to Robin, who's a lawyer, about this, and he said, this is just rubbish. But, you know, oh, well, because we're in a court case and maybe he's innocent. When I've done interviews with them, they have basically, when we did the one the other day where there were two of us, they basically said that if anybody says that he was murdered, you will be removed from the interview.
Wow.
That strongly. So, I mean, I haven't tried the word assassinated. I get that this is not even saying he was assassinated.
Yeah.
I think assassinated is a stronger word than murdered.
Hmm.
That's without saying who even did it or who might have done it. So I'm just saying, as Robin joked, I said, you know, he committed Harry Carey by falling on his sword. And Robin said, yes, no, on 18 knives he committed Harry Carey because he was stabbed 18 times.
Mm.
I mean, clearly politics is becoming very dangerous in this country.
You've certainly been attacked by the media and criticised, and so it's you're right. It's not an arena that most people want to enter, but you have gone back in despite the attacks from the media on you previously.
Well, the other thing was I didn't think there was any reason to go back in the intervening years. There was nothing to go back for. You know, I supported Boris effectively, and that was a great disappointment. A massive disappointment. I'm not talking about Partygate. I'm talking about all the other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm more angry the COVID stuff by Theo Agnew's revelations. Oh, yeah. You know that £1p on income tax has been wasted in fraud by COVID loans, including 1,000 companies that weren't even trading. Who are these people, and how much were these loans? And I looked up what 1p on income tax means yesterday, and the only the last one was when the Liberal Democrats said they were going to put 1p on income tax for the NHS. That was in 2017. It was estimated it was 6 billion then. Mm. So if it was 6 billion in 2017, presumably, you know, it's 6.5 billion now, 6.5, 7 billion. This is, you know, 6,000 million. So, you know, what is this? Is this 6,000 1 million pound loans, or is it 60,000, 100,000 loans? I suggest it's 60,000 people have deliberately defrauded the system. And when we make comparisons of what's done to people who don't pay their council tax, to people who don't respond to benefit changes, to minor tax credit changes, and we're talking about Inland Revenue and Social Security for £50, £100 sometimes, and they're taken to court, dragged through the courts, for people who don't pay their TV licenses. And we are talking about 60,000 people have taken £100,000 loans totally criminally, and nothing's been done about it. This is a public sector scandal, a Treasury scandal, a Boris scandal, a Rishi scandal. And I hope for goodness sake that, you know, I mean, you know, this is just total laxness. It's appalling. And it shows the denigration of our public services, the civil service, and even high up in the Treasury. Whilst these people were partying, this stuff was going on.
Yeah, not completely. Kath, can I just let me bring up the, that is the English Democrats website. So I'd encourage people to go and have a look at that, EnglishDemocrats.party, EnglishDemocrats.party. Again, it'll be in the description below. But Catherine, it's been interesting watching the media. I saw some clips of you that you'd sent over, a strange clipped interview with the BBC. But again, this has had very little coverage. And I'm curious for, why do you think that the media have really ignored it?
Okay, well, let's put this this way. I have sent emails, and Robin and other people who've working at, we sent it to Christopher Hope, who is head of the of politics.
Yeah.
I know him. I know him personally from the Brexit Party. We have sent emails to Peter Hitchens, to the only person who's responded to you is Robin Atkins, but who said he didn't think the Telegraph would let him do anything about it. And we've asked the Daily Mail, we've asked every single newspaper, we have asked GB News. I have done this two or three times, and they have not ever responded to anybody, whether it's come from myself or the English Democrats. We're just sending, and many people don't have telephone numbers. So, like, for example, with GB News, you are reliant on just sending something to info, and they don't answer. And, I mean, this is what's crazy. If I did win, and there's more of a probability than people think because of what's happening with the Conservative Party, it's not what, if the Conservatives do not vote and they refuse to come out, then the people who do vote will, you know, there's the tiniest possibility, and they will all be all over it then. It's like, why did we miss this story? But you were told that in terms of the local newspapers, one of the newspapers, the Essex Echo, put up eight candidates and not me. And and we'd emailed them with a press release. It then came out, and I contacted the journalist, and he had not attempted to contact me through Twitter. He hadn't done any tweets at that time. So he said, oh, he thought my Twitter account wasn't active. Well, that's irrelevant. You try to get hold of the candidate. He says he calls the English Democrats twice on two different numbers, but there's only one number there. And he says he's emailed the English Democrats, but we didn't answer. I wasn't there. Now, we don't know why that is. And they have done a 200 words. And they ask people to write 200 words in their own words. But instead of doing anything for me, he made the 200 words up for me, including, of course, saying that I said that food banks cause obesity, which I have never said food banks cause obesity. And he couldn't find a photo. There were none on the internet, according to him. So we found a photo of Jada, but he couldn't find a photo of me that wasn't copyright. So you wonder why. Eight candidates, but not me, yeah? And then the other thing that's interesting is the BBC's coverage. So the BBC, of course, and no other TV stations have covered it at all, nobody. The BBC, of course, has an obligation to cover this and has an obligation to attempt to be fair. But the English Democrats came second in Batley and Spen. I don't know if you know that in the Joe Cox by-election.
It was very close, yeah.
No, it wasn't close at all. Sorry, Peter, it wasn't close. They got like 1,000 votes and whoever, the Labour Party got 8,000 or something. But the point was they were number two.
Yeah.
But the thing is that in Batley and Spen, they didn't cover any of the parties, really, standing. In this one, they've made a big effort to cover all the parties. And Robin thinks they're making that big effort to split the vote.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's very odd why there's such different coverage between Batley and Spen and this election, but the way that it's ignored and the way the Conservatives think it's a shoo-in is quite funny, actually.
I mean, is it because obviously in Batley and Spen they had Joe Cox's sister or whatever, and this was a
This is the Batley and Spen when she was killed. You remember?
Okay, yeah.
Woman who went off to be, I can't remember what her name is, quite a famous woman who went off to be a mayor or. This is not 2019. This is whenever she was murdered.
How have you, so again, in the current situation with the COVID nonsense, all of that, so it means that you have much less engagement. And I guess. Most parties are not running a kind of normal election campaign. I guess English Democrats are no different. So when the media chooses not to actually even display you, to put you out, then that immediately shows they are attempting to restrict the voters' access to who's available.
Yes, and there's no hustings either. Okay. So we are allowed to, I think that is normal in by-elections, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I'm not really that familiar. Robin is very familiar with the workings of by-elections. It's also a very tight schedule, yeah? You realise they did it on the shortest possible schedule.
Yeah.
So we basically had about 4 days to get, a very short time frame. They opened, the candidates on sort of the Wednesday and it was closed on the Tuesday. So you had like 4 working days to get it in. So if you didn't have your signatures, you were going to have trouble. That's the first thing. And then secondly, it's incredibly short timescale, 2 to 3 weeks, 2 weeks, I think, between the time of the closing and the actual election. The postal votes have already been counted. But the only really good thing is because it's a by-election, everybody gets a posted leaflet delivered. And that is the saving grace of the whole thing in the letterbox. Not, of course, everybody will get it because we know problems with post office deliveries. I've never had at my house a single leaflet from any party ever. They don't bother coming to the middle of the countryside. They will theoretically have had my leaflet, and we know that my leaflet has gone out, and my leaflet was pretty hard hitting.
Yeah,
I think you said you're of it.
No, I saw it. Yeah, Catherine, coming near an end. Obviously, people vote. The Conservatives are pushing their candidate as someone with the blue rose and as the Conservative candidate. Labour more or less the same. But a party like the English Democrats, you have to fight to put your message across. So, I mean, for you personally, what is it? Is it the immigration issue? I've heard you talk about energy issues. What is it personally that you want to get across?
Well, our election slogan that will go on the ballot paper is protect our borders. And if there's one issue, it's that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk to about this, but, this assassination was second generation asylum seeker, effectively. And his father, as far as I'm aware, was high up in the Somali government and was chucked out of Somalia because he was an Islamist. Do you know that?
Yeah.
A number of people, I believe one of the other bombers, was a second generation Islamist refugee. This is the chickens coming home to roost. This is the worst possible example of what can happen. There are obviously, but I'm also just worried about the astronomical costs of the boat people and illegal immigration. And that's a large part of what I've focused on. you know, this is one incident, and I don't think we should focus purely on this particular thing, but we certainly do need to talk about, I mean, the Migration Watch came out about 5 years ago and said that the cost of an illegal immigrant was £1 million during their lifetime. Now, I put on my leaflet that it would take 200 years of tax for one person on average wage income to pay for that one asylum seeker. They would be paying tax for 200 years. If you earn 25,000, you pay national insurance, you pay about 5,000 in income tax. That's how much, excluding the national insurance, you would need to, you pay a year, and it would take 200 years of your income tax to pay for that one person. Of course, I've got lots of fights about, well, where does that number come from? And that number is wrong. Well, if we just go through it, I mean, we've got 28,000 people. We had 28,000 people arrive last year. People counting on docks, and I don't know if you know, but there are dock counters. Do you know that?
Nope.
Well, they're independents. I believe the English Democrats have got somebody who's down there every single day counting. They say it's 32,000. So we've already got a sort of 10% discrepancy there. And that's without the people that get reported coming into the dunes, which various people report all along the Kent coast. That's about people coming in on ships, on trawlers, on motorboats, and, of course, through lorries. And those 28,000 is the tip of the iceberg. It could be 100,000. But, and we you know, Priti Patel has gone on and on about deporting people, and they deported three people or something last year. I mean, the most ridiculous number. Yeah. If we take the initial costs, you know, how much is it going to cost to process that person? We know that Nigel did something. They've been given Domino's pizzas and stuff, but we're going to process that person. We're going to give them all sorts of things, and we're going to take them to a hotel, etc. And then the minimum is £60 a night, maybe 120. So we're talking about thousands and thousands for hotels and allowances, and then of course we go on to Social Security payments, and we go on, but the main thing, and housing benefit. You know, and supposing, and then, you know, supposing they do stay here. I mean, you don't remember the Liverpool hospital bomber was a failed asylum seeker from 6 years ago. But we could be talking about, you know, just say we took 20,000 for 50 years. Well, that's £1 million. But the big issue, of course, is the lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you start the lawyers going, as we know in the Rotherham case, when it got to £500,000, We can be talking, and this is taxpayer-funded money, and this legal business is a scam and a racket and appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal at hundreds of pounds sometimes an hour. I mean, it's the lawyers that make me really angry. We could be talking about £500,000 for the cost of the deportation if it ever happens. So in reality, £1 million is probably a massive underestimation. It's not going to be £1 million. But, you know, I would have said that we can say that as an average. But that was, again, an old number from 2017 by Migration Watch.
Kind of think we'll bring it to now. The by-election is on Thursday the 3rd and of February. And, again, it's great to hear someone talking some common sense on these issues that the other parties refuse. And if our viewers are politically homeless and do want to go somewhere, then certainly I'd encourage you once again to have a look at the English Democrats website, and also make sure and follow Catherine and to watch that result. If you are in the area, if you're up there in Essex and Southend, then make sure and do vote. Your vote matters, your vote counts, and make sure and choose your vote wisely. And don't just vote for the status quo, but as Catherine has pointed out, the immigration issue, the crazy spend on COVID, many other issues that I think we need a party that actually looks at things differently and addresses these issues. So, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on. It's wonderful to have you on. Great to have someone standing who has some common sense. You're maybe one of the nine with some common sense, or one of the eight.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Peter. Thank you.
Great to have you. So thank you to our viewers for watching this election special. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your day. And we'll see you back on Monday. So thank you very much, and good night.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.